continuing to chronicle the legacy of an incredible family group in gospel music. The Neelands History and Harmony, part two of our three-part series, starts now.
Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
I have found myself waist deep in an amazing reservoir of music. I mean, this is an incredible sound we are surrounding ourselves with on this three-part series. Here we are in the middle of part two, and sitting around the table with me are Kelly Neelan, Amber, Jason, and we've got this incredible library of music from the Neelan's history, as we talked about last time, even going way back into the Lefevre days and migrating up to the current sound now. Let's go back where we left off last week in this classic sound with the Neelands in gospel music. I had to say, this has to be, if I had to name one song that will outlive them, this is the song for the Neelands. They agreed with me. It's Oh for a Thousand Tongues, as we kickstart part two of the Neelands on Daniel Britt and Friends.
God in the highest.
Orleans, classic sound and gospel music. I'm Daniel Britt. Welcome to part two of The Neelands, The Harmony and the Heritage. Talking right now with Jason, Amber, and Kelly. You probably can't go many nights without singing that now,
never.
Right?
Never.
The other night we were doing a Larry Goss tribute, you know, and a lot of artists got together, you know, it was on TV and a taping and everything. And we re-recorded that song with the original arrangement, changed the orchestra just a little bit, but kept all that intact.
Yeah.
And we performed it that night, and it just changed the atmosphere. It always does that, and it just changed the atmosphere of the evening. A lot of the artists were in the green room watching on the TV back there. After the entire program was over, remember Jaron Davis came out to us. Remember that?
Yeah.
He huddled us around. He got our family together, and he said, "Guys, when y'all began to sing that song," he said, "we were having church in the green room." He goes, "If you ever go a concert and don't sing that song," he said, "there is something wrong." You
oh,
know?
Man, that's good. Do you ever feel the weight of that sometimes, though? That you've got this heritage, and it's like, don't blow it.
Right.
I do.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But you guys are doing such good stuff. And I'm looking at the song list, too, and from the project Come On Home, which is one of the last projects you put out. In fact, mainstream. There was a Christmas project that we'll be featuring coming up in a few months when Christmas rolls around again. But I see the sun's coming up. So this is another old classic.
Right.
So at some point, like with 04,000 Tongues, when you redo that one, you want to be very careful to not change it too much.
Exactly.
Right.
But with others, do you find there's a little flexibility?
You know, I think it depends on the song. The sun's coming up. That just fit this record because this record had more of that mountain sound and the acoustic instrumentation and things like that. So pretty much it's pretty close to the original arrangement, you know. We might have tweaked a couple things here or there, but it's very acoustic, and it's a song of hope, and we tried to make sure the lyric and the harmony just was out front and center, you know, and not a lot of production, you know. And so and we're going to start trying to do that. Those songs from 20 years ago and even more, it's now time to bring them back. So we're going to ease them into the mainstream again, you know.
Is it unusual feeling that you're leaving Gaither Studios with these mountain kind of sounds, these acoustic sounds? Because I would think that typically Gaither and Neelands, classic Neelands sound, were more in line with each other. But now you guys, both Gaither and Neelands, are coming up with this acoustic sound.
I know.
Who would think?
I know.
But Bill loved it.
Yeah.
He loves the clean sound.
Yeah.
Okay, so Neelands always have had stacks. You know,
right,
I don't know if
right.
listeners understand what a stack is,
right.
But it's a vocal on top of a vocal.
Right.
But on this project, there are no stacks. It is us clear. I mean, it's just us.
Yeah.
Nothing stacked. It's just the plain vocals.
Well, even to go back with how this kind of process started, we were talking about this approach for a record. And we had breakfast one day last year with Bill and Gloria, and Bill, as he always does, let's go around to the piano and sing a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So we go in there and go to the piano, and we start singing songs, and he starts grinning and looking around, and he calls a couple of his staff people, come in here, a couple more staff people. And we, you know, quickly we had a crowd and we were singing over an hour together in there. And he came to us, he goes, I love this, that we can get around just a piano and this, the harmony that you guys have, and it's not hidden behind a bunch of orchestra, a bunch of production. He goes, you guys should make a record where your harmony's right out
he
front.
He said, you've got real voices.
Yeah. He said, it's real harmony, you know? So that's kind of our approach. I said, well, that's right in line with what we've been discussing musically. We want to get the harmony out front again, you know? And so that's really our focus right now musically.
And here's one from their latest project, Come On Home. In fact, it's the title cut. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends.
Though you've wandered far from Father's house, though your lonely heart should ache over shattered hopes and broken dreams and things you can't forsake, there is one who still longs to forgive, makes no difference where you've roamed. Just remember, he still loves you. Come on home.
Harmony and the Heritage, the Neelands. You're listening to Daniel, Britt, and Friends, a three-part special on their history. And right now, a classic from the Neelands, Bring My Children Home. This is Daniel, Britt, and Friends. The Neelands. You're listening to Daniel, Britt, and Friends. We are honoring their heritage, telling the story, and we're chronicling through the years, listening to some great classic sounds, but also enjoying the new, fresh sounds of the Neelands. With Jason, Amber, and Kelly sitting around the table right now.
I don't know if this has any... I'm just coming out of left field here, so we don't have to dwell here long. But I was having a discussion today. Someone said something in the studio that musicians today, and I think even Sandy Patty has made comment about this, singers today, and Amber, you can weigh in on this too, contemporary 2012 pop singers, whatever, the difference in singing 30 years ago, you belted a song. If you had lungs and you could sing and you could hold a note, you were a singer. But now it's breathy. It's very breathy.
It is very breathy.
were you a part of some of that migration? I mean, can you appreciate some of that? Is there an art to the breathiness and where's the balance? Because Amber can belt a note, but at the same time, I think you're very contemporary.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, even though she's not Southern Gospel, one of my all-time favorite singers is Celine Dion, and that's because she's a true singer.
Yeah.
And I grew up listening to everything she did, even when I was younger, before I started singing professionally, trying to mimic everything that she did. And I remember her, I mean, she's known for belting it out, obviously, yeah, because she can hit some unbelievably high notes. And then as I got older, I learned that there was also another side to the music, to where you had to tame that down a lot, because sometimes it can come across as screaming on a certain song, mm-hmm, and to be very cautious of that, and to make, you know, different songs have different feels. Mm-hmm. And so I tried to incorporate that in some of my singing as well. And Jason always brings that out with me in the studio, is to, you know, maybe put a little bit more of a softer feel to this and not so much of a stronger voice into it. And so I think it's a good migration. I think it's a good mix to have both.
And I will say, for Amber, I think I heard the tenderness and the sweetness of the more breathy sound on the first Gaither song she recorded, Jesus, I Heard You Had a Big House.
Yeah.
And I just believed it wowed people, the tenderness and the feeling. You know, I think sometimes a little bit of the emotion of breathiness, mm-hmm, will get, mm-hmm, to a heart.
Sure.
Yeah. Are you talking about, like, the children's videos, or are you talking about the heaven video?
The heaven video.
Now, that's one that will stop you. And that's the kids' song, you know? But it gets me every time.
That's another song that we probably don't have a concert where it's not requested.
Yeah.
You know, it's another one of those that just made its way around the globe, you know.
And I can't help, I mean, even if the song had no spiritual meaning at all, I can't help. How old were you in that shoot?
I was 11.
11 years old. So if you can imagine this is being filmed in some kind of sound studio that, mm-hmm, was with film, not with just television cameras, but actually film cameras.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And all these legends, and 11-year-old Amber is there on this song where.
And I'm holding my breath.
Oh, I can imagine, because because it's such a soft, tender, sweet song that there's not a whole lot of support musically. You don't have a lot of big, you know, orchestra behind you and stuff. It's just you. And,
yeah.
And
you know,
I don't
what
hear any...
was really great is that she was terrified.
Oh, I was terrified.
But her voice did not show it. But her legs shook like there was an earthquake.
Yeah.
But her voice just held it clear. I was so proud. I mean, I was, you know, it was almost like I was singing it.
To be terrified. David Phelps was, by far my favorite singer. And he had just got up. He had just did No More Night. Everybody had stood to their feet. You know, if you watch that part on the video, everybody's standing up applauding. And Bill says, Amber, come down here. And I looked at Mom like, is he for real? I'm supposed to go after David Phelps.
And matter of fact, that day, David has always just been her biggest, you know, she just loved him, loved his voice. And
loved him.
And so she wanted to meet him that day. And so we were in the room, and Amber will talk to anybody. She's always talkative. Yeah. But, you know, hey, how you doing? Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. David came over and I said, David, I wanted you to meet Amber. Amber, this is David. Not a word. She would not.
I couldn't
get it
out.
She couldn't say a word. She just, it was like.
He has that effect.
I was starstruck, you know.
Yeah. Yes.
I was like, okay, this is, and she says, hey.
she says, hey.
That's funny. Well, this is a moment that none of us who love this music can forget. So here's Amber from the Heaven video, Big House. And you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends.
Jesus, I heard you had a big house where I could have a room of my own. And Jesus, I heard you had a big yard, big enough to let a kid run. Thank you.
Of the Neelands from a Gaither Heaven taping. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends featuring the sounds of the Neelands. This is a new sound from a more recent project, Come On Home. It's acoustic, fresh, uncluttered. The Neelands.
Everywhere I feel excited, like
You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. The Nealands are with us, and it really, we talk about family harmony, and it is that, has been that. I want to talk about Rex a little bit more than we have, but let's also just kind of go through the names, and this is probably not, well, I know it's not all complete, but I'm sure I'm leaving somebody out here, but you've had some great talent come through that have been catapulted. You're one of these groups. There are a few groups out there that seem to be this kind of university training ground for gospel music. Katie Peach, Janet Paschal, Karen Peck, David Hill, Stan Whitmire, Jeff Stice, Charlotte Penhollow, Charlotte Ritchie,
yes,
and Amy Roth. And I know there are others.
A lot of musicians. Rabbit Easter came, yeah, played here. Yeah.
Mark Clay, who's
Mark
with
Clay, new song now.
Yeah.
Wow.
A lot of talent. I mean, singing-wise and musician-wise, Rex always found, it seems to me, like the best, you know. And when I came with the group, Charlotte was the soprano, and Stan was playing. Actually, I was with the Singing Americans before we disbanded, so I was kind of without a job for a while. I was trying to get the studio thing going, and Stan Whitmire called me. He said, hey, our bass player's leaving. You want to come to convention and audition? Mm-hmm. So I came to convention and met everybody. Didn't really audition, but I met everybody. And they told me that they had four or five players they're going to listen to. And I was like, all right, cool. They gave me a call. Can you meet us in Knoxville next week? And I said, sure. So Stan sent me 20 songs. Learn these 20 songs. And I did. Showed up to Knoxville. Didn't have any charts or anything. I learned the 20 songs. Rex never called the first song that they sent me.
Oh my goodness.
The entire program was, I was on the hunt, and I knew that I did not have that job.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Somehow, luckily, they chose to hire me.
Well, the talent and being in Atlanta, I mean, did that help or hurt? I mean, was it a challenge being in Atlanta? Or, I mean, I'm partial because I'm from the state, but I think Georgia has a lot of talent. And so where did you find, I know like Charlotte Penhollow came from Delaware, Maryland area, right?
Right.
And Janet came from Carolina, and I know Karen's Georgia based, and Stan is too. So what was that process like? Being a national group, but yet being headquartered in Atlanta, not Music City, USA, was that a problem? Was that ever an issue?
I don't think so. Of course, you know, we found talent from everywhere, you know, just because we traveled, so we would hear people and you know, musicians and stuff. And I don't think it was ever a problem being in Atlanta. And it wasn't for us. I mean, you know, either they decide to come here or, you know, or not. But it was always fun finding new talent. And, you know, some of the best, like Stan Whitmire, was right there in our back door. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember the day he came over to try out. And when he started to play Over a Thousand Tongues, I will never forget it. I thought, this has got to be one of the greatest players I've ever heard. And there was just something about the way he played it made me want to sing.
Wow. I remember riding through Smyrna.
Yes.
Right?
Uh-huh.
In the Marietta, Cobb County area of Atlanta. And a friend of mine was taking me around Lefevre Sound. It was all shut down and kudzu growing over the building. But I remember I was taken even by, I think, an old home place of yours, Kelly, and just thinking of, like, imagining a bus and imagining, you know, the coming and going of the Singing Nealand family, you know, and what the neighbors must have thought. And, you know, just did Atlanta appreciate the fact that they even realized the treasure they had?
Aww.
You know, I think of all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I remember my wife and I kind of joke about it. I grew up 2 hours south of Atlanta, but we rarely went to Atlanta. Atlanta was like a world away. I don't know why. Maybe we just had an aversion to a big city. I don't know. But I remember I got a hold of my high school public library. It had an Atlanta phone book, and it was thick. It was like 2 or 3 volumes.
Right.
And I remember I found the white pages. And I said, well, I'm just going to see. I know that there's a Lefevre, and then there's a Nealand. I just want to see if they're in the book. And they were. I remember seeing Eva May's number in there and Rex's number in there. And I was trying to show the librarian, look here, this is cool. I mean, and they're like, okay, kid, get back to history.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I grew up in Smyrna, basically, and I can still remember our phone number, 435-8223. But,
my goodness, you remember that.
I know.
Get her tomorrow night on our Christmas tour.
Yeah.
Yes, right.
And I will forget every lyric. But, You know what? I love that house. We, the neighbors loved us. They understood what we did. Daddy parked the bus right next to the house. We owned the lot next door. And so it was wonderful to drive that bus in. We could sleep and then just walk right in the house.
Wow.
So
yeah.
They always knew what was going on.
And you mentioned, you know, did Atlanta realize Rex's last year on the road with us, 98, right before he retired, we got notification through our publicist, Brian Smith at the time, that the mayor of Atlanta had declared May Neyland Month. And so we thought that was pretty cool. And that was a great honor for Rex and all that he had done for music and for the city.
Bringing recognition to Atlanta, here are Atlanta's very own, the Neylands.
The Lord is coming someday to take his children away, to live in peace forever. We'll walk the streets of pure gold that heaven's never been told. We're not supposed to know. We don't know who to select. We don't know what to expect. But if we sing together, we know our voices will blend. Our pleasures never will end. For God is real, dear son. We'll have a good time when we get to glory land.
We're gonna shout forever.
Children never, if they will only obey, his presence with them will stay throughout eternity. There's not a doubt in my mind that in the end I will find a place to rest forever. And if a mansion is mine or whatsoever I find, that's good enough for me. We'll have a good time when we get to glory land. We're gonna shout forever.
The Neylands, you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. We're looking at the heritage of Rex Neyland. We're listening to the harmonies of this group. Astounding.
In a little town called Bethlehem, so many years ago, they told them there was no room in the inn. But they had no way of knowing who they had turned to. It's the Lamb of God who would take away their sin.
I'm glad I know who Jesus is. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. He's more than just a story. He is the King of glory. I'm glad.
Their soul.
only great harmony, but trendsetters, and we're honoring the heritage, the legacy of the Neelands today on Daniel Britt and Friends. So let's talk about Rex and his impact, because I know I've heard, we've got it on tape, even Eva May telling stories of Rex Neeland and something special there.
He tormented her quite a bit.
Well, yes. And there was a song to prove that, right? I remember that one. Yeah. And, well, so when you get to the fact that, and I thought it was very cool. I don't know all the ins and outs of the business deals that went on, but the way that he honored Eva May by holding on to the Lefevre name, even though she had given up the business or she had given up her rights to it, and she was at that point just the singer in the group, but he still respected her until she was ready to retire, and then he finally changed the name to the Rex Neeland Singers that eventually became the Neelands. And I met him a couple of times, didn't know him very well, but every time I saw him, he was this quiet but solid statue of a man. It was cool to see you guys in a dinner theater kind of setting one night.
Oh, yeah.
And to see that he was...
Had to be the joyful noise.
Yeah, it was either that or yeah, I think so. And there was, of course, his catalog of convention music that he wanted to preserve. But as we talked about, Over a Thousand Tongues, there was also the open-mindedness enough to be able to reach new audiences.
You know what? I was just thinking about this because we started out as the Lefevres. Now, the Lefevres were cutting edge for their time also.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, they did some music that was real different. They had instruments and all kinds of things. And I think some of that influence came to us from them.
Yeah.
And so I was just thinking about how they would always strive to do the very best. I mean, Uncle Alf, he was a stickler for everybody had to sing the right part. I mean, we would be in the rehearsal and he would say no consecutive fifths, you know, and he would go in our face and say, la, 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 that's what you have to sing. La, 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 not la, la, la. You
know, yeah, right,
so,
right.
I mean, it really just carried on to us. And I really appreciate that. Matter of fact, we were in at a camp meeting when it was still the Lefevres, and mm-hmm. Daddy made Uncle Alf, and Janet was there too. He made Uncle Alf teach a music school to us three people, and we had to learn all the shape notes. And at the time, I was like, oh, brother, because I could play piano.
Yeah.
And so I knew round notes, and I'm thinking, why do I have to learn the shape notes? But I'm glad I did now. It's neat to have that background.
And was there at one point that Jimmy Jones sang bass with Rex Neeland in the same, I mean, they were both in the group at the same time.
Yes.
Two great bass singers in one group.
Right.
What Gaither was that has about? Two tenors. They had two bass singers.
They had two bass
singers. You know, and sometimes Jimmy would go to baritone.
Right.
You know, and when one of them wasn't singing, they'd play an instrument. You know, it's like Daddy played guitar and bass, and so did Jimmy. And so they just switched out. I don't know how that worked exactly. I was too young to remember that. But I do remember going to see them in concert and thinking, of course, you know, it's my daddy and I'm a little partial, but I thought they were fabulous.
Yeah.
And Pierce Lefevre was just an excellent MC, you know, and Eva May.
Right.
He got it from Eva May, but I thought they were wonderful.
Who's that yonder dressed in white? It must be the children of the Israelites. Must be the children that Moses led.
Now sit down, you sit down.
I can't sit down.
Oh, sit down, sit down.
I can't sit down.
Oh, sit down now, sit down.
I can't sit down because I just got to heaven and I can't sit down. Who's that yonder dressed in blue? It must be children just coming through.
Say,
who's that yonder dressed in black? It must be the children just turning back.
Now sit down, sit down.
Starry crown. When I get to heaven, gonna put on
shoes.
I'm gonna run about the neighbors and I'll tell the news.
Now sit down.
Oh, he'll do that anyhow.
Can't sit down.
For 40 years, you Rice, you've been telling me what I could do and couldn't do. I'm not going to sit down. I'm going to stand up just as long as
I can. I've been listening to you for 20 years. You ain't never had to listen. You don't listen to anybody. You walk, talk,
I'm going to do just as I can. Shut up.
I love that line, and you hear Rex's sense of humor come out with the Lefebvres there. Now back to the Neelands, and this is what we're featuring and who we're featuring these incredible sounds on Daniel Fritt and Friends.
I am walking the pathway that my Savior trod, bound for that city eternal with the blessed saints of God, lifting his banner before me.
Listening to Daniel Fritt and Friends, and also listening to some great sounds of the Neelands. If this is all new to you, sit down and take notes. An incredible legacy in gospel music, the Neelands. Did Rex ever sing with other groups other than the Lefebvres?
He sang with the Friendly Five, I believe, was his first group, and then he sang with the Homeland Harmony.
Okay,
and those the only two that I remember that. I mean, I really don't remember him singing with them, but that's what he, you know, he was.
Did you ever have moments just at fun reunions or conventions or sings or whatever where he would go and he would sing bass with another group, totally not the Neelands, just to sing a song with them? And did you ever have this feeling like, okay, that's kind of strange, but it's kind of cool at the same time, because he's been so synonymous with that family group for so long. To see him be like with an all male quartet. Did he ever
see
him?
He did do it. He did. He sang with Gerald Wolfe.
Yeah.
He sang with Greater Vision. And I was a little jealous.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, no, he sings with us.
That's right. They'll get used to that.
That's right.
And a song originally made popular by the Neelands, but here's Greater Vision featuring Rex Neelands singing bass for their trio.
I'll never forget that wonderful day when Jesus saved my soul. I knelt down at an old-fashioned altar, oh, how the glory did roll. I went to him on bended knee and left there with a shout. I'll never forget that wonderful day when Jesus called me out.
He called me out.
He called me out, and I answered, Savior.
He spoke my name.
He spoke my name, and I answered, Lord.
He filled my cup.
He filled my cup with an everlasting water. I'll never forget that wonderful day when Jesus called me out. They tell me the moment I break through, the angels marched around. They lifted their wings and sang a glad song, the lost soul has been found. My name was written in the book and it shall never fade. I'll never forget that wonderful day, the day that I was saved.
He called me out.
He called me out and I answered, Savior.
He spoke my name.
He spoke my name and I answered, Lord.
He filled my cup.
He filled my cup with an everlasting water. I'll never forget that wonderful day when Jesus called me out.
He called me out.
He called me out and I answered, Savior.
He spoke my name.
He spoke my name and I answered, Lord.
He filled my cup.
He filled my cup with an everlasting water. I'll never forget that wonderful day when Jesus called me out.
He called me out.
He called me out and I answered, Savior.
He spoke my name.
Nealands, you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends, enjoying our conversation with Jason Amber and Kelly Neeland today on Daniel Britt and Friends.
Many days of sorrow, many days of pain, many days I'm wondering just what will be my gain. Then comes the sweet assurance, speaks peace to my soul. You're just now nearing those pearly gates where you can lay down your heavy load.
Now some folks are contented with what this life can give. Some seek worldly pleasures, they just live and let live. But my eyes now are focused beyond life's empty thrills, where priceless treasures now await my coming over the hill.
Just over the hill. Can't you see the sunrise?
The Neelands, hailing from Atlanta, Georgia, and establishing such a great career and legacy in gospel music that continues today with Jason, Amber, and Kelly the Neelands on Daniel, Britt, and Friends.
And the legacy, we talked a lot about that. Amber, what did he leave you other than what you can read in history books, other than paving the way? Was there some one-on-one mentoring that he gave you?
Well, I mean, he left me his love for music, obviously, and that came from him to my mom to me. He did, you know, Granddaddy, even though he was really quiet, he was actually really a funny person. And especially with me, he joked around a lot. I was around, I think I was like maybe 6 years old, 7 years old. He would always write me these little letters, and he'd leave them. I don't know if Mommy remembers it, but he'd leave them on the table of the bus. And everything would either be spelled wrong or the letters would be backwards. And I'd come and say, Granddaddy, you did this wrong. You did this wrong. And little did I know he was teaching me how to spell. But that was his way of doing it, you know. He was a prankster. He did all that kind of stuff. And I think I like that, too.
And he loved to talk like Donald Duck to her.
Yes. And then obviously that transformed me.
And there is some talent today that, you know, we're on the verge of an empire with with a talking dog.
It's true.
You know, and it goes back to Rex.
Yeah. It does. It really does. It starts with him.
That's right.
There's something the Neelands also had, and that was a knack for choosing great songs that were so unique and out of the box. Here's Happy Ending.
For so long now, we've heard about how the world's gonna end in fear. They will run to the rocks and the mountains to hide when the day of the Lord is here. But for those who've been washed by the blood of the Lamb, we're gonna see the great I Am, and it's gonna be a happy ending.
The Neelands, you're listening to Daniel, Britt, and Friends, and with a song like Happy Ending, we've come to the end of our time for today, but we'll call it a bookmark, and we'll place that here at the end of part two, and we'll finish up next week, next time, part three of the Neelands, the harmony, the heritage, the legacy of Rex Neeland, even going back to the Lefevers. I'm excited, can't wait to continue their story and hear even more of this great music next time. See you back here.
You've been listening to Daniel, Britt, and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.